This morning after our service, I won't be staying around very long after the service as usual. This morning I will be heading down Back Creek Road to Jarrodstown, and I'll be preaching there at the 11 o'clock service. So, and then I told them that I won't be staying very long after the service because I'll be coming back here to our 12:30 luncheon today. So I want to remind you, today is the luncheon. They're having one there today as well, but I don't tell them I said this, but I wouldn't miss the luncheon here, you know. So so I hope all of you will remember to come back at 12:30 and join us for lunch today. New Testament, our gospel reading this morning is from the book of John, the first book of John, which is in chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. This scripture starts, of course, in the book of John. The gospel of John is all about God's saving grace, about God's salvation. So if you want to know about how God saves us, why God saves us, and what God did to save us, a good place to start is just read the entire Gospel of John. Once you have received the saving grace, once you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I commend to you that you read the epistles of John in 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. You know, read those, okay, 1st and 2nd John, and then read those to tell about our life and our walk with God. John starts off with, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, okay, and the Word was with God. Introducing Jesus Christ to us. It goes on to introduce Jesus Christ to us through the words of John the Baptist and his ministry. And then talks about the baptism of Christ and as Jesus calls his first disciples. It starts off with Jesus calling his first disciples, which included Andrew, which is Simon Peter's brother, and calling Simon, which is Peter. Jesus called Cephas, the rock. And here we are on the next day. Hear now the word of our Lord, starting in verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to them, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." Then he added, "I tell you the truth, you shall see the heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." And this is the word of our Lord. Our reading from 2 Samuel from 1 Samuel this morning, starting in chapter 3, when the Lord called Samuel into service. It's important to know the background of this story. Samuel's mother was Hannah. And Hannah was one of the two wives of Elkanah. And he was a godly man, and he came every year to bring his tithes to the temple. And every year he would take it and give his one wife a portion, the wife who had borne him many kids. And then he would give his first wife, who was barren and had borne no children, a double portion to give and sacrifice for. He truly loved Hannah, and he knew how sad she was that she had borne no children. And Hannah went to the temple and prayed that she could cease to be barren, that she could bear a son. And she promised that if the Lord would give her a son, she would devote that son to his service for his whole life. God kept his promise. God gave her that promise. He granted her request, and she bore a son. And once the son was weaned, when the son didn't need the mother around all the time, the mother took him and presented him to Eli, the high priest. For at this time in Israel, there were no kings, there were judges. And priests. And the priests were the judges, and the priests ruled over the people. This was the time before the kings. Eli was a good man who failed to do what the Lord commanded him to do. He had served the Lord faithfully, honestly, all of his life. The Lord had spoken. Eli was a prophet. The Lord had spoken through Eli, but the Lord had not spoken to Eli for a long time because Eli had not obeyed the Lord. Eli's two sons would not obey the Lord. They took advantage of their high positions in Israel, took advantage of women, took advantage of food, took advantage of money and property, and generally lived horrible lives that were shameful to the Lord. And although the Lord commanded Eli to do so, he did not rein them in. He did not bring his sons into account. And the Lord had told Eli that if he failed to do so, that he would destroy him, his children, and his whole family, and they would no longer lead Israel. And so now we come to our story today, and we come to young Samuel. And who was chosen by God. He's called by name, but Samuel didn't understand that it was God calling him. God, though, is persistent. Although Samuel did not answer his call immediately, but thought it was Eli calling him, he kept going to sleep and knowing that he heard that there was someone calling him by name. And through God's persistence and Eli's guidance, Samuel answered the Lord, and he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord spoke to Samuel. I wonder how often we are called and we think that it's something else, someone else, something else. Surely it couldn't be the Lord calling me. Surely it couldn't be the Lord telling me to change. Surely it couldn't be the Lord nagging at my conscience. It could not be the Lord speaking in his still small voice, telling me to go and serve my neighbor, calling me to reach out to one who is hurting, calling me to love someone who seems so unlovable and unapproachable. If we look at the Psalter lesson we had this morning in Psalm 139, when I say me or I want you to replace it with your name. So for instance, when I say, "Oh Lord, you have searched me," I will think, "Oh Lord, you have searched Bill. And you know Bill." And I want you to replace this within your mind with your name. "Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me." You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in. Behind and before, you have laid your hand upon me. Your knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. How do we stand in a relationship like that with our Lord? I encourage you to read Psalm 139 when you go home today, to place yourself in that scripture. Because the Lord has sent His Holy Spirit to dwell in those who believe. And you know, if the Holy Spirit has entered you, has become part of you, if you have received the Holy Spirit, what can be more personal than that? What can be more intimate than that? And so when David is giving us this psalm, he's talking about a personal relationship with God. He's talking about a personal saving relationship with God. But it can be a scary relationship with God. It can be a frightening relationship to have God know my innermost thoughts. That thing that I might not share with you. That thing that I might not want you to know. That thing that I think I've hidden. But it's not hidden from God. It's not hidden from our Savior. It's not hidden from the Holy Spirit. You know my going out and my coming in and my lying down and my waking. And you know my innermost thoughts. That personal, intimate relationship. That's what God is calling you to. Yes, God does call His prophets in the old time, that we've not heard from prophets in a long time. I'm sure that we will in the last days, but at this time we're not hearing from prophets. He's giving His word, hopefully, to pastors who proclaim His word, who teach His word. But He gives His word these days, since the coming of the Holy Spirit, in a different way than He used to. In the time of Eli, He came through the prophets. But Jesus Christ said, "I'm sending to you a helper." And when Jesus Christ was rising into heaven, he said, I am sending to you a helper. I'm sending to you the Holy Spirit who will dwell in you. And you say, well, that isn't the same as the relationship that David had with God. No, where Scripture tells us that the Spirit was in David, that the Spirit was with David, that he did have the Spirit of God. And even if we can't understand that, we can know, as we said in the Nicene Creed this morning, as we said in the Apostles' Creed last week, we said that there is one God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is all the same God, the David that knew David, that David wrote about in the Psalm, that knows him personally. It's the same God who called Samuel. It's the same God who took out his wrath upon the family of Eli. It's the same God that speaks to you, that calls you by name, that speaks to your very heart, that knows your innermost feelings and fears and concerns and desires. And yes, sometimes it's scary to have that close of a relationship. But Christ will settle for no less of a relationship than that with us. He will settle for no less a relationship with that with you. Because he wants us to become part of him. As he said, as you are in me and I am in you. And you are one with me. And we can't be one with someone while holding back, while reserving part of us, while hiding part of us. And so we understand that when we are one with Christ, Christ knows us completely. And the mystery is not, to me, is not that Christ knows everything I think and say and do and want. The mystery is that Christ still loves me. Christ still cares. Even knowing that, that Christ still desires a relationship with one who falls short so often, falls short so consistently. Even David, in his Psalms, seeks forgiveness for his sins. Even David fell short in some very big and notable ways. Yet he still received the grace of God. He still received the forgiveness that can only come from Christ. The book of John tells of Jesus calling his first disciples. He didn't invite his disciples to come and spend an hour with him listening to the Word of God. Christ didn't tell his disciples, I am Lord, and them to worship him and then quickly go back to their lives as they were. No, this is the Christ who called for their lives completely. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He said, follow me and pick up the cross. This is the Christ. This is the Christ who came to his disciples where they were, who came to the tax collectors, who called Matthew the tax collector, who called Zacchaeus the tax collector. This is the Christ who told the rich young man that he must give up everything because Christ knew him personally, completely, and knew that it was his riches who were keeping him from God. And so he said, give everything you have to the poor and follow me. Yes, it can be scary thinking that our innermost thoughts and feelings and fears and anger and regret are known to the Lord. But it also is good for us to know that this is the Lord who went to the cross. This is the Lord who gave His life. This is the Lord who took all of these sins, even the ones we've not committed yet, upon Himself and paid the price. This is the one who spared you and me that punishment. This is the Christ that, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. So while it can be a little scary knowing that every thought, every emotion, every urge that you have is known to the Lord knew that before He gave His life for you. The Lord knew you before you were in the womb. The Lord knew what He was doing. And He did it. And He did it out of His love for you. And He did it out of His love for you personally. Not as a people. Not as a world. Not even, and certainly not as a denomination. He did it for you personally and intimately. And I urge you to listen for that call. I urge you to be willing to say, "Here I am, Lord. How may I serve You? Be with me as You say, Lord." As Mary said to the angel, "Let it be as You have said." As Eli said to Samuel, Let the Lord do what pleases Him. And so we are called to say, "Here I am, Lord," and be willing to do as the Lord has called us to do, as the Lord has drawn you in to serve Him and to serve others through Him. And we answer, "Here I am, Lord." Amen.